right. So you probably noticed I'm doing double duty today. So I just want you to ask for prayer for Sam Paladin, who is not feeling well today. He's under the weather. However, those Avonworth Antelopes won the WPIL, so we're excited for him and his coaching staff. So that's really a cool thing to experience. So would you pray with me before we begin? Heavenly Father, I just pray right now as we sang those words this morning to you, that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, maybe brought into this place this morning, maybe some anxiety or fears or restlessness, Lord, but we realize and understand because of your word and who Christ is that you're not done yet and you have a blessing for us. And so, Father, I pray right now within these next few moments that you would speak to us, that your word would penetrate our hearts, that we would leave different men and women than we came in this morning. So I pray a blessing upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4:13. It's one of my favorite verses. It's one of those ones that I kind of as a kid kind of like try to understand what that meant for me. But it says this, maybe you've heard of it. I can do all things, say all things, through him who strengthens me. Meaning like we can do all things. And so does that mean you can lift up a Volkswagen? Probably not, but maybe, who knows if God is. But you can do all things in God in strength. Christ who strengthens us. And that's what it means that we look at that verse and it's inspiring, but when we really comes down to it, putting it into practice and thinking about how that looks for us individually on a day-to-day basis, how many of us really do that? And I'm guilty of that too. Like sometimes I don't feel like I can do all things, do you? And you just feel defeated, you feel crushed, you're like, what am I going to do? But scripture, God's word, his promises say that in Christ we can do all things. And so as we look at that, we're in our sermon series right now called What's the Point? And so we're going to talk about giving. And I ask that you not check out. I pray that you just hang in there and really think and open and see what God has for you, Christian, as someone that can give generously and what that means for your faith and your walk. So I know that as a believer, I want to give generously. I want to give of my life, my whole, my mind, my heart, even my pocketbook. I want to give God all that I have, right? They say if you want to see what a person's like, look at their calendar and look at their checkbook, and you can see where their priorities are. And so this morning, that's what we want to think about. We want to think about, are we doing all things through Christ who strengthens us, or are we kind of holding back? And so I appreciate the two words that we got today that really just encourage us really to think about God's peace and his continued presence in our lives, even when it comes to giving. When we look at giving, I don't know how many of you have ever thought this. I know that I have, that, you know, like, I only have so much money. What can I do? There's a research group called the Barna Group. The Barna Group says this. Statistically, only 43%, according to a study done in April 2021, know what tithe means, the word tithe, to give a tithe. What does the biblical word tithe mean? And so what that shows is that there's a lack of understanding. It's not ignorance. It's just like not truly understanding what God's word is. And so that's easy to do with the Bible. Sometimes there's some concepts in there and some truths that we don't really understand and you know, internalize as truth. And so that means this, that over 60% of us in this room struggle with their faith in relation to tithing. And when I say the word tithe, maybe that's a new concept for you this morning. We're going to talk about what that means and what that looks like and how that's God's way of helping us grow and receive blessing in our lives. Not for like a lottery ticket or anything like that, but it's in order for us to grow in our faith. Amen? And so that's what we're looking at. And so there's negative mindsets. I think some of them have been brought on rightfully so. The church has been a mismanagement of God's money and representing them the well and televangelists back in the day, and there's just been misrepresentations of money, and so a lot of people just group the whole church in like we're all just representing, like when it comes to money, bad. And some of it's good, but there's some good things with the church as well. I just want to push back on that the church is being a good steward of the money and the tithes and offerings that come in. And so, you know, all we want, you know, maybe you hear that question, all we ever do is talk about money. Why do we have to talk about that? That's not true. God wants not just your money, he wants your whole life. He doesn't want just your checks, he wants your heart, right? And so that's what we want to get at this morning. We want to think about that. And what ways can we really surrender our lives, even to that point of giving, and what it means to live generously? As it's Thanksgiving week, how many of you are excited for Thanksgiving? Some of you didn't raise your hand, I'm concerned, okay. But here's the thing, we in this time of Thanksgiving and generosity, That's kind of when we kind of give these sermons and these talks at church, and the idea is to help us to think, in what ways am I living generously with my life? Am I honoring God with my finances? Am I giving him all that I have? And it's not meant to manipulate you or to make you feel guilty. My hope and prayer this morning is to encourage you to think about what that means for you to grow spiritually into the man and woman God has called you to be. Amen? So that's what we're looking at. I know my understanding of tithing when I was a kid growing up in the church that Mel and I grew up in, they would pass the plates, and I would have some change, and I would throw it into they had the old school plates. Remember the old school plates? They were metal, and I would throw that in there so the coin would make a sound. And I was like, just trying to like, you know, like, look what I did. You know, like, that's not good attitude, right? But my idea of tithing was just giving something, right? It was just giving something. And when I got my first job, it was in high school, and I worked at the cafeteria washing dishes at Geneva College. My mom was a lunch lady. I know you may be thinking that lunch lady song with Adam Sandler. That was my mom. She was the lunch lady land, you know? So, but I got a job washing dishes there, and I got a paycheck. And I couldn't believe how much the government took out of my check. I was like, I washed so many dishes. And my mom says, well, they take some, and then here's the rest. Whatever you have left, you still have to give 10% to God. And I was like, okay. So she's the one who first taught me what it meant to give and tithe. Not just give the quarter into the plate to make a noise, but to actually give whatever 10% that came on that paycheck, move the decimal, to give to God. That 10%, that word tithing, means 10%. And so, she taught me to give. She said, when you get a paycheck, give 10% to God. She actually told me to put some away in savings, too. I started to do that as well. But I understood tithing at a very early age, and I just continued to do it. Even when I didn't have a lot, even my college years, when money I did, I would give back to my church or the church I was serving at as a youth pastor back in the day. But we start from 10%. The word tithe means 10%. We start at 10% and we go up from there. So the tithe, it means 10%. And then we go, generosity is anything above that 10%. And so when we're giving out of our hearts, when we're giving out of generosity, it's the attitude of the heart and our faith that matters to God. You know, and I recognize that, you know, man, this is tough sometimes. Have you seen the economy? Have you seen prices of food and everything else? Yes, I'm with you. I'm living in it too. But we're told this. We're encouraged in Scripture. We're told in Scripture to give God, back to God, what is His. So what's the point of giving? That's what we're looking at today. We don't tithe out of obligation, but we do by anticipation and expectation of faith and see what God's going to do in our lives. I can tell you stories. Even, you know, there have been times in my life where I think I shared it here before. You know, I was applying to go to seminary, and Mel and I were trying to work our budget to figure out how that was going to happen. And I applied to school for seminary, and I talked to a counselor, and I told him my situation. I said, I have to come up with money. I went home. Mel and I were just trying to figure out. I received a call from my school, and they said someone was paying a future pastor's of the church scholarship, and I got paid in full. Like, I'm not saying that happens for everybody, but what it does show you is God's provision, God's blessing when we give. So we were giving at the time, and I'm just saying, like, God continues to do that. Maybe you have a story, and I know there's stories out there amongst the room right now where God has provided for you in a time of need. Amen? And so that's the point. So common questions about tithing we might see. Is it just an Old Testament principle? Wasn't there more than one tithe in the Old Testament? Is tithing in the New Testament? Did Jesus ever teach tithing? Are tithing and giving the same thing? And what do you do when you don't make enough money? How many have ever been there? Yeah. And so that's the tension that we live in. But when we examine our story today, we examine our hearts, we're going to say, okay, what does it mean for me to be a Christian, a believer, who's actually being generous and giving of my tithe back to God? And so the idea I kind of want us to capture for this sermon today is that tithing is a free will. It's free will out of our, we're choosing to do this out of our heart, our faith-filled We're stepping out in faith. We're doing it in our free will. We're choosing to do that, but we're also stepping out in faith. The Holy Spirit's guiding us to step out in faith. And then it's first fruit offering. Like I said, with that first check, what I got, I take that 10% and I give back to God. I give to his church. And so that's the idea where we're going this morning. And so the Hebrew word for tithe, like I said, it just means a tenth part, a tenth part. So if you took $10 and you took, broke it up into $1 bills, $1 goes back to God, right? And then you use the rest to live off of. And so many times, a lot of us get frightened by that, and we get, you know, what if I don't have enough? I understand that, but when we give back to God, God works in miraculous ways. He really does. Over 32 times in the Old Testament, we see the word tithe used. It's used 32 times. Tithing in the Old Testament, there's different scripture verses that you see there in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, 2 Corinthians. I invite you to take a picture of that screen and look those up on your own. I don't have enough time to really unpack those like I would like. But we see that it's emphasized in the Old Testament, it's important to God, which demonstrates a faithfulness, a generosity, and a willingness, a free will to step out in faith. And again, that first fruits principle, it's like whatever we have, God is saying, I want that first fruit. I want that first thing that comes off of your paycheck. I want you to give of that to God. And that's what he says. So this predates, the predates the law or the Torah in Hebrews chapter 7. It talks about a detailed explanation of how the Hebrews and what happened there in Melchizedek. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all his goods. And so that's kind of the first time we see this. And we also see in Genesis 14, 18 through 20 is the whole thing. But Abraham eventually gave Melchizedek, who is a priest, a Christ-like figure, a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. And so that's where it started here. We have this Old Testament principle where Abraham, who gave to Melchizedek. And so that was that first response that we're called to give. And so it predates Jesus. And so tithe was done away with because of Jesus. That's what some people think. No, that's not true. We're going to look into that in a little bit here. How about this? If you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to look there. We're going to spend some time starting in verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. Verses are on the screen behind me. It says this. Malachi is an Old Testament prophet, and it's toward the end of the Old Testament, right before the New. And he was one of the mouthpieces of the Lord, and Malachi spoke to God's people, calling them back to return to God and to understand what it meant to follow him. And so this is what he says. Again, God's faithfulness over time to his people, God's generosity, his provision, it's always been there. So Malachi, as a prophet, one of the roles or job descriptions of a prophet is to remind and call people back into relationship with God. And sometimes there's areas of our life that are out of alignment. And so that's what we're talking about today. Verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes or laws or precepts and have not kept them." And so God gave them these laws and instructions, and over time they kind of straggled and went away from God's teaching. Return to me. God is wanting relationship again, over and over and over again. Thank you. Isn't it amazing that we're just so thankful that God doesn't say, I'm done? He keeps calling us back into relationship, and here we see it in Malachi. "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall I return?" And so God's people were returning from exile. They were away. Then somehow they forgot the greatness of God. And sometimes I think this happens, that when we're so caught up in fear and anxiety and busyness, we often tend and forget how great God has actually been to us. And we start blaming things and throwing our hands up and just kind of becoming lazy. But we're called to every day to remember the greatness and goodness of God, just like we sang with our worship team. And so how do we return to God? I like that. It's my heart. The attitude of my heart is the condition, the attitude of my heart right toward God. Or is there something in there that's causing me not to be right? A bad attitude, or a thought, a relationship, whatever that might be. But Malachi is saying our heart has to be right in willful obedience, and in faith we need to be in step with God. And so, you know, Jesus later on says in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, so your heart will be. And so again, this matches up with what Malachi is saying. Where our heart is, that's where we're going to spend our life, our time, our energy, right? And so again, how do we return back to God? Is when we get our hearts right. We confess what we've done wrong. We surrender the things what we can. And that's how we get back to God. We repent of those things in our lives. And so Malachi, that mouthpiece, that megaphone for God in this time in the Old Testament, is calling his people back. This morning, maybe God is calling you to have an attitude adjustment in your heart. I don't know what that is, but think about the goodness of God. If you need a reminder, look at the cross. That is a reminder of God's goodness to you. Look at this. Malachi 3, 8, and 9 says this. Will man rob God? And so Malachi is speaking to God's people, and he's saying this, that they had some attitude adjustments. They were keeping things and withholding, and he's kind of speaking to them and kind of giving them kind of a tough talk, but a necessary talk. He says, will man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have I robbed you? And your tithes and contributions. And so as they were bringing in money, and they were, you know, they're called to by the law here and the scriptures and what we see here to bring that tithe in, they were withholding and robbing from God. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And so the principle that we look here is that when we bring in the money that we have and we don't give back to God that tenth, there's an essence we're robbing God, right? If someone were to borrow your car, I think I borrowed, where's James? James here? He's probably walking around. I borrowed James and Jess's van, right? And so when the idea is that when I took their van and I used it for the ministry purposes, of course, I returned it. I didn't just return it with the gas tank not filled, but I returned it with a full tank of gas. I even tried to clean off the front of some of the bugs on the headlights and things like that. So have you ever done that? When you borrowed someone's car, like when you give it back, you put the gas in it, take care of the car, make it better than when you got it. That's how I was brought up and raised. But that's the same thing, is that when we do that, when someone borrows your car, they return it, and they don't say, I'm going to give you the car, right? They return it, but they bring it back with a tank of gas, right? So generosity is this. Generosity is filling that car up and washing that car. And when you borrow that, that's kind of the same thing. We're giving back to God, and we're asking him to bless that, right? Malachi 3:10 says this. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. Put me to the test. And so this is one of those scripture verses where we see that God is saying, go ahead and test me in that, right? We don't see hardly anywhere else in scripture where we see it here. He says, put me to the test. It's like God's talking junk on these people. He's talking trash on them. You don't think I can do it? Go ahead, put me to the test, right? That's what he's saying to us. That's what he was saying to the people in the book of Malachi. But in the church today, you don't think God can do it? Well, put them to the test. Watch what happens. There was a story of a pastor I was reading this week who didn't believe in the lottery, and he hit the lottery, right? There have been people, he was just trying to prove to his congregation it was a waste of money, right? And he gave the money to the church. There have been times when people said God doesn't provide, and they go out and do stuff, and God provides them like a promotion or something like that. So there's ways that you can do this. And so if you're that person, you say, God, where are you? Put him to the test and watch what God will do in your life. I love that the kind of God's attitude of the heart here is it's wonderful. He says, therefore, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And so God is saying, when you're in relationship with me and you're walking according to my statutes and you're giving of yourselves, I will open the blessings of heaven. And so when we don't give, we're missing out on the blessings of heaven. And so it's not just for... It's for your growth. It's for your benefit. It's to help you grow closer to look more like Christ, right? That's what we're called to do. And so there's that clear, that storehouse, right? I think the storehouse here is the church. He talks about the church, and he looks about giving the money back to the church. In Deuteronomy 14, bring the tithe to the designated place of worship, it says. And so when we do that, we bring it to God's, outpost of heaven in the church. You know, we have our little ones here this morning. When you give, you're giving to the work of the ministry. You're helping the gospel to go forward. So that's a beautiful thing. So here's the thing, the principle, maybe you've heard Pastor Gary say this, and I've had a couple conversations with you, and I think this is right. God can do more with 90% blessed than you can with 100% cursed, right? And so when we give our first best to God, the rest is blessed. And the blessings of heaven, this window is open to us, this blessing that comes from God. When we talk about an open heaven, maybe that's a new term you haven't heard before. We're called to think about, as we give, this open heaven concept, these blessings come out to us. I remember when I was a kid, when it was wintertime, the door would be open, we'd go out, and we'd leave the door open. My mom would yell, like, close the door, we're not trying to heat the whole neighborhood, right? And that heat would go outside. That's the kind of the thing, like, when we're tied to God, when we're giving to God, we're giving generously and stepping out in faith, these blessings of heaven are going to be blown out into our lives. And so we need to have this idea and understanding of an open heaven, right? In Genesis 7:11, we see an outpouring of more than enough. This God's provision to his intended purposes. And God has this provision for us. If we had everybody come up here and share, we would have enough time of how God has provided for us one way or another. In Psalm 78, more provision. 2 Kings 7, there's miraculous deliverance from oppression that people are not giving. And sometimes when I've met with people, I say, they're going through some tough times, and I say, are you giving to God right now? And they'll say no. When they do, it kind of like adjusts their lifestyle and adjusts the way they view things. And they're delivered from that oppression, right? And it's an amazing concept, and it's a truth that we can stand on, a promise that God is for us. And then in Isaiah 24, we see that there's the overthrowing of God's enemies, right? God does his work, and God does the ministry that has to happen. And these are the things that happen within the pages of Scripture. That's Isaiah 24:18. But we go on and see in Malachi, as Malachi is talking about the idea of returning to God, checking the attitude of our heart when we give, this is what happens in verse 11 through 12. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fall bare, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 12, then all nations will be blessed, for you will be the land of delight, and says the Lord of hosts. And so he again, there's this continual protection and provision motif from the Old Testament to the New Testament and to the church today. But it's always a call back. It's always a call back and say, you've kind of swayed away. You've kind of gone on your own way. And God's saying, repent and come back to me. And one of the ways we align our hearts is through giving. That's the truth about it. And so when we tithe, when we give generously to the work of missions, when we do that, it grounds our faith. It galvanizes us in the Spirit. It helps us to step out further in faith. And that's our hope and prayer for you. And so when we talk about tithing and giving, it isn't, this isn't going to buy cars or craziness. It's not. It's going for the work of the ministry. And so, we were talking at staff, as pastors, and we were coming up with the idea that the three biggest reasons why people don't tithe, we were saying, well, why don't people give? Why don't people, that 40% or 43% number that Barnes says, why isn't that greater in the church? Well, we kind of identified these things, and maybe this is you. It certainly was for me. Maybe it's a lack of discipline and understanding how money works, just not understanding how to run a budget or budgeting enough, or maybe it's you're going to sheets too much. We've said that in the past, right? A lack of knowledge, just simply a lack of knowledge. It's not meaning that you're ignorant or anything like that, but it's just not truly understanding different things. And so when you understand what God's word says and understand what a tithe is and what it's meant for, it kind of shifts your perspective and say, okay, I'm going to look at my budget. I'm going to give 10% of what comes in first to God. Anything above that is generosity. And so when we get there, that lack of knowledge turns into knowledge and turns into faith and growth and health and all those things. And then I think the third one, maybe the first, kind of where everybody is right now, is it's fear. Like fear, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Or I don't have enough to whatever that may be. And that's a reality. And it's tough. It's a jungle out there. It's tough right now. And so I just want to encourage you, as we sang about today, that God hears you. He knows your heart. He knows your fears and anxieties, but he knows the desires of your heart too. But he wants you to continue to walk in obedience and faith, align your heart and your mind with him, and walk in faith. And so we think about this. Under the new covenant, the old covenant is the Old Testament and the old law. This new covenant is through Christ. When we think about this, do we see this New Testament idea of tithing? Well, Under the new covenant, our salvation is not based out of obedience to the Ten Commandments, but it's we're supposed to still follow them, right? And so we might not see this to happen in the New Testament, but it's still a good idea for us to give of our resources and treasures to God. There have been people that say, I don't see any reason why it would not provide a blessing like it did in the Old Testament. Well, it does. If we give today, it would probably provide blessing. Now, a lot of people have the misunderstanding of it is like, if I give to God, I'm going to get returned back to me like millions and billions of dollars. That's not how it works, okay? So if that's how you think, let's talk afterward. Let's align that lack of knowledge, because that's not going to happen, right? That's not how God works. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Mexico. I've been all over the world. And there are people giving of themselves, too. And they don't have all these luxury items. So Western culture and Americanization of the faith has really misaligned and messed up a lot of the thinking of what it means to give. And so people are still giving, and God blesses. But the idea of blessing and prosperity is different. There's a twistedness that's in here. And so what I'm saying is like a biblical, true biblical view is what God wants to align ourselves with, and not this twisted Western mentality. Is that making sense? And so that's my hope and prayer for you, that you see that that's where God wants us to align. The New Testament on tithing, we think about the New Testament. What does that look like? Whether Jesus spoke on tithing. And I think in Matthew 23, verse 23, this is what he says. It says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law. And so again, context, he's speaking to the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They would dress in their magnificent get-ups, and they would get the best seats in the synagogue, and they would make the most noise when they would throw their pennies in like I did when I was a kid, right? And so Jesus is speaking directly to them. Again, it's the attitude of the heart. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. There's an exclamation point there. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the most important aspects of the law. And this is what he says. Justice, mercy, and faith. Justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And so they were holding people to the law, and they were neglecting other things and care for people and the needs of people. So if there was ever a time time in history where this should abolish the tithe, right, when Jesus' time, 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus had a right to do it, but he doesn't abolish, right? And so Jesus said, do both. He says to give the tithe, but also to do justice, mercy, and love. He says to do those as well. And so again, what does that say? That's an attitude of the heart. And somewhere along the line, when we give, it's this grudge. It's like kind of dutiful and like, why do I have to do this? But Jesus is saying, do it out of an attitude of the heart that's out of love and justice and mercy. And so 2 Corinthians 9 says this, New Testament ideas about giving. 2 Corinthians 9, it's that the tithing is supposed to be done purposefully. Well, like, what are we giving to? That's the idea. Proportional to your faith. Right? If you're in a certain spot in the proportion of your faith, give where you're at with the Lord. Give where you are. Prayerfully consider. Talk with your husband. Talk with your wife. Talk with God. Pray about what you're going to give to God. And then plan. Make a plan ahead of time. Nehemiah planned out the walls, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Like, it's good to have order. It's good to have a budget. It's good to have all the different apps that are available to help you. But plan out ahead of time in the ways in which you can give. Does that make sense? So tithing then, listen, tithing becomes a launch pad toward generosity. Tithing becomes this launch pad for us toward generosity, where we start with that 10%, and then as we get more, or we're saving more, or we want to bless the kids' ministry, or we want to bless the mission field, it's a launch pad to generosity, and God wants us to be joyful and generous givers. Now, one of the questions are we commanded in the New Testament to give? No, but we're commanded to give generously. We're commanded to give generously, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying to give the 10%, but give in addition to this contributions. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this: You must decide decide in your hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in a response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so when we give cheerfully, it builds our faith, it builds our
our faith. We move closer to what God wants for us. He wants to bless us in those ways. And so, you know, at Bridge City Church, we whatever comes in, we're giving 10% of all that comes in back out to the mission field. We're giving 10% back out into to the local missions, foreign missions. And I love that. All the pastors and elders are tithing members. They're giving back unto the Lord. And so we have to decide, are we going to give dutifully? Are we going to give cheerfully and generously? That's what God wants to see. He wants to build our faith. When we do this, it allows our faith to grow in trust. And sometimes it's hard to have that trust, right? And my hope and prayer is that as you're looking at your finances and you're praying about your finances, that you will be able to trust in what God wants to do in your life and take that bold step of faith. There are three questions that we pose that I think that can help as we look at this and what, you know, that can help us take our next steps toward giving is what can I give? What can I give? What can I truly give? If I look at my budget or I look at my life, what can I truly give? Or what can I give up? Maybe it's like giving up that extra Starbucks. I know that's tough for some of you, right? But maybe we can give up that cup of coffee and then take more and to give. And what can I believe God for? What can I believe God for? What is God trying to do in me and through me by this act? So what can I give? What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? There's a quote by Billy Graham. I'm a huge Billy Graham fan. I love that man. I got to hear him preach in person. Maybe some of you did at the Promise Keepers and some of the other things. But I read a lot of his stuff, and he says this. He said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in their life. And so as Billy Graham did his ministry, arguably spoke to the most people in all of history about Jesus, he was talking about giving. And then when their areas of their life were out of whack, he would say, if you got that area of money aligned with God and his word and his truth, some of these other areas will get better. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe your life is not aligned where it needs to be. And I want to say, like, I want to challenge you and encourage you not to manipulate you or make you feel guilty, but maybe say, okay, God, in my finances, in faith, how can I align my life and checkbook with you? What are true riches? In Luke 16, it is one who is faithful in very little is also very faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And so if then you have not been faithful in with the unrighteous, who will entrust you with true riches? And so when we think about true riches, what does that mean to have true riches as a believer? When we think about true riches, is it one of those Tesla trucks that look like, it's weird, that's a weird truck. It's not that, that's not true riches. But the true riches are spiritual. They're spiritual riches that are help us to look more like Jesus, to strip away the parts of ourselves that are rough. And the true riches are love and joy and peace and wisdom and forgiveness and healing and Holy Spirit power. These are the things that are true riches in our lives. And these are the things in which Jesus spoke of against those Pharisees and Sadducees, that they missed the point. They missed the point over and over again. The Holy Spirit is the one who can bring the change of the heart. That's what's going to happen. I can speak and teach and do all these different things, but what it's going to come down to is you and the Lord and the movement of the Holy Spirit on what you're going to give, and that's what it's going to be. But I just want to encourage you as your pastor that this is a part of what it means to follow Jesus. And if you get that right, all other areas of your life are going to be okay. There's a story of a farmer. I love this story. There's a story of a farmer who lived through some droughts and several hard years through his life. And one spring, after a very dry winter, he walked out to his barn and he looked at the last bag of seed that he had left. And it was all that he owned. And he had two choices. He could grind it into flour and make enough bread for his family, and they would eat for a few weeks. Or he could do something that looked completely illogical. He could put that seed into the ground. And one choice would feed him and his family temporarily. The other choice would require faith that is unseen. Something that is unseen, something in underground, something supernatural would happen if he did this. And so he took that bag of seed out into the field, and with tears in his eyes, because it was everything that he had, he planted the seed in the ground. And months later, that single bag of seed became an entire harvest. That it was enough to feed his family. It was enough to sell at the market to make a profit. It was enough to bless his neighbors and his community. And it was enough to replant for the next season. And so he discovered the principle of tithing. He discovered the principle that God built into all creation, that seed isn't meant to be eaten, but is meant to be sown. And so when we sow our lives and our tithes and our generosity into God, watch what God will do and multiply that in your life. And watch what he'll do in the church. And watch what he'll do with other people's lives and families. He wants that. So tithing, it's taking what is in your hand and trusting that to God who sees what's in the ground. It's believing that God who made the seed will multiply that. And he can still multiply the provision and the protection and the purposes in your life. That's what God will do when we trust him. We give of ourselves when it comes to giving. And so here's the thing. I would encourage you that God never asked for your money, but what he did, he asked for your heart first. He asked for your heart first. That's what he wants. And so when you hear about giving and sermons on giving, that's where it starts with, is your heart and your faith. That's what he's looking for. Where is your faith in me? Where is your faith toward the church? Is it with me, or are you aligned somewhere else? Is your treasure in other things and other stuff, or is your treasure in heaven with Jesus? Tithing isn't about paying God. Like, God doesn't need, like, God is okay without our money, but it shows where we are and recognizing that he is the God and we are not. Tithing isn't about checking a religious box. Okay, I'll do it. Check. You're good for the year, whatever it is. But tithing is this. Tithing is all about trusting God. It's about returning to God like the people in Malachi were away from him. That's what tithing is. It's saying, I'm coming back to you, God. In all areas of my life, I'm coming back to you. And tithing is about placing your heart in his hands and your life in his hands. That's what it says. That's what tithing means. And so when you hear that, I pray that you hear that and not some other distortion of Americanized form of giving and this bad PR in the church. But it really is. It's about our hearts, where we're placing our lives and our faith, that God wants to multiply that in your lives and give you blessing and open the gates or the windows in the sky to you. So God is inviting us into freedom. Like, he's inviting us to have this relationship with him and not to live in our fears, right? He wants to give us blessing and not burden us. And whatever we're going through right now, that we're stepping out in faith that he is God and we are not. There's a scripture verse that I love, and you can see the attitude of the heart in Mark chapter 12. It says this: Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were there, who were rich, put much in. And then one poor widow came. She came up and threw two coins or mites into the pan, into the plate. And so he called his disciples to himself. Jesus called his disciples and said, look, I want to teach you something. Come here, look at this. So he called his disciples to himself and he said, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow, this poor woman has put in more than all of those who have put into the treasury. For they have put in out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty into all that she had and the whole and our whole livelihood. And so that's what God wants us to give out of our where we're broken. Give out of that. Most people looked at the number of when it comes to giving, but Jesus looks at the faith. He looks at our hearts when it comes to giving. And so God doesn't measure the size of our gift, but he measures the size of our trust, and he measures the size of our faith, and that we're actually doing that out of generosity and joyfulness and love. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. And today we're talking about giving. And in this, it's about tithing, it's about money, it's about how we handle our resources, but it's also about our lives too. How are we handling our lives? And so today, God isn't just calling you to surrender your life, but he wants to resend your whole heart. He wants you to trust him. He wants to trust you with your finances. He wants you to trust you for his future. And so that's what God is calling us today. When it comes to giving, it's about giving that tithe, but it's also giving of our whole selves to the Lord to watch what he can do. So that tithe is a free will, faith-filled first fruit offering, and watch what he will do in your life. So I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, some of us come into this place with such fear and anxiety that we're not sure where the money's going to come from to pay bills. So Father, we just surrender that to you. We return back to you as a people. Father, some of us are just, we've had a bad taste in our mouth by the bigger church, the greater church, that we see just misuse of funds, Lord. And so, Lord, help us not to look at that, but look to you. And I pray that we'd be a people that would give. Father, help us to give joyfully and sacrificially. Help us to give our lives, that we place our heart and our lives in your hand, and you would plant us, and a blessing would come from that. Multiplication would come from that. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon everyone here today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would align ourselves with you, that we would convict us of the things we need to let go of or repent of. I don't know what those are. But, Lord, our faith would be made stronger because we're walking in step with you. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.